Praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John. I'm never good on special days. Most Easters, I just preach on hell. Amen. I figure they're there for that one time a year. They might as well hear about hell. I mean, that's what they need. I'm not preaching on hell this morning, fathers. Amen. I'm not. Let me just give you some instructions before I preach the message. I mean, I want to say something to you fathers, and I want to say something to you people who have fathers. I think that means all of us. Amen. To you people who have fathers, the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say respect them. Respect is earned. You may not have the best dad, you may not have the best mom, but the Bible says to honor them.
Sure.
You can honor them and not respect them. Honor is something you do. If it's a commandment, you can do it.
Sure.
If it's a commandment, you can do it. Well, my dad, honor your father.
Yeah.
You honor. Well, he's not saying he. Maybe if you honor him, you get saved. Mm. I'm not saying you will, but I'm just saying your responsibility is to honor your father and mother. And let me say this to your fathers. When God was looking for the father of his people, Israel, mm-hmm. he chose Abram. And in Genesis 18, he says, I know him that he will command his family and his household after him. And to keep my commandments. When God was looking for a dad for his people, he looked for a guy that was going to command.
Yep.
We got a bunch of wimps today that call themselves men. We live in a society where a lot of women are running the household. God said he will command his family.
Sure.
That includes his wife. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about bossing people around. But I'm talking about if she's the lady she wants to be, she wants a man to command her that's going to command after the Lord.
Mm.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. So that's the kind of man you need to be. You need to be a man that's going to command your wife and your children to obey the Lord and follow the Lord. That's the kind of man you need to be. The kind of father you need to be. Yeah. Okay, that's my message. All right. John chapter 1. John chapter 20. And I'm going to hurry. Because I'm hungry. Amen. I don't eat breakfast very much, so I break the fast later in the day. Amen. So I'm ready to break the fast. Amen. But I did have whatever those things were with the strawberry stuff on it, and that just made me mad. I wanted more. Amen. Amen. Today I want to preach a message on Big John and Little John. Big John and Little John. Amen. Big John is the Gospel of John, and Little John is 1 John.
Amen.
These two books are the only books, to my knowledge, that tell in the book why they wrote the book. The book of John, here in chapter 20, and verse 30, and many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So Big John was written so that you could be convinced that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing that, you might have life through his name. So Big John was written so folks could read it and get saved. The Bible as a whole is not for lost people. The Bible is for God's children. You have to know the author to get anything out of the Bible. They're spiritually discerned. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. It's confusing to everybody, but if you know the author, it makes sense. But the book of John was written for sinners. I like the book of John. It's written on the third grade level.
Yeah.
80% of the words in John are one-syllable words.
Amen.
Hey, I can understand that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life.
Amen.
All on one-syllable words. I can understand that.
Amen.
John, listen, God's not willing that any should perish. He wrote a book on a third grade level where sinners can read it and believe that Jesus is the Christ and get saved. So, you know, we use the Romans road. A lot of people use the Romans road. When John was written so you could get saved. So John's a good book to use when you're soul winning.
Yeah,
because they need to be convinced that Jesus is the Christ.
Yeah.
The Son of God. They need to believe that they might have life through His name. So let's just look at some verses in the book of John. I don't know everybody here. I hope everybody's saved. But the odds are there's somebody here that's not. And to this point, you've not been convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. You've not been convinced that He is the Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14 tells us that before creation, there was the Word. And in verse 14 tells us who the Word was. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ has been existed forever and will be existing forever. He's eternal, so He's God. Jesus Amen. Is God. And just some great verses in the book of John. John was written so that we could believe that Jesus is the Christ and be saved. Verse 11, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now listen, I am not easy believism. I don't think you just pray a prayer. Amen. I know a lot of people that will pray a prayer, do anything, get you off their porch.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen. Pray this prayer, and they're thinking, if I pray this prayer, they're going to leave. Hallelujah. But I'm saying this. If the opposite of easy believism is hard believism, I'm easy believers. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Right.
Here, it says, as many as received Him.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of hoops to jump through, people. To get saved, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ and you need to receive Him. Do you know how to receive a gift? Is any work involved in receiving a gift?
No,
it's a gift.
Yeah.
So to receive a gift just means to accept the gift. Whoever, if somebody presenting a gift, you just accept that gift. Jesus Christ is presenting salvation. Through His death on the cross and His resurrection, He's presenting salvation. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even of them to believe. I'm telling you, it's as easy as receiving a gift.
Amen.
Salvation is easy. You know, the verse we looked at in Sunday school, it is evident. It's not evident to a lot of people because the religion has muddied the water so much. There's something we got to do. I mean, we baptize or join a church or do good works. It's receiving a gift. That's what salvation is. It's receiving a gift. It's God is presenting something to us. The wages of sin is death, but the giving of God is eternal life through Jesus. Notice, it says wages of sin is death. But there's no wages to give eternal life. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The book of John was written so we could be saved. So we could be saved. Look in John chapter 3. Brother Bill and I were visiting yesterday, and I like the way he talks. At the door, he talks about being born again. And that Jesus said, he must be born again. So that's how he starts the conversation about being born again. And Nicodemus here, the Bible says in verse 1, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, I think a ruler of the Jews was one of the Sanhedrin, one of the 70 that helped rule Israel. He was one of the 70. And when Jesus told him, you must be born again, Nicodemus, now let me show you how dumb religion will make you. Can a man go to his mother's womb the second time and be born?
Mm-hmm.
How stupid. Come on now, people. How stupid. But that's how stupid religion will make you. You know, Nicodemus is asking, the Son of God, you know, can imagine. Hey, no dummy. And Jesus is very kind, very gracious, but he knows his amen, religion make you dumb. And so Jesus gave him a few illustrations, and finally in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He said, Nicodemus, I know you're a ruler of the Jews, and you've read the Bible. You remember in the Old Testament? Well, that's all we had. Amen. You remember the Bible? When the Jews complained against Moses, they complained against God, and God sent the fiery serpents? And people begin to be bit by serpents, and they're dying, and there's no cure for it. And so Moses goes to God and says, God, the people are sorry. What can I do? And God says, Moses, I want you to make a serpent out of brass, hang it on a pole, put it in the middle of the camp, and if anyone's been bitten by a snake, if they'll look at that brass snake, they'll live. All you have to do is look at it. That's the provision God has made. You don't have to kiss it, don't have to pray to it, don't have to worship it. Just look at it, and you'll be healed. He said, Moses, in that same manner that Moses hung that brass snake up there, and if you looked at that, you could be healed, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him. What does it take to be saved? By faith, looking at Jesus hanging on that cross and said, that's God's provision, and I'm accepting that provision for my sins.
Yes.
And then the next verse, for God so loved the world. If you're not saved here this morning, I want to tell you how much he loved you.
Oh, come on.
God so loved the world. Clear day today, but kind of cloudy now. Clear night. If you get out on one of these hills somewhere and look up and see the stars, one night I want you to start counting. Start counting them right down. Count all the stars. Get you some binoculars. That'll help you. I'm just making your life harder. Get your telescope. Oh, you'll be there a lot longer now. Count the stars. You say you can't count them? Because there's so many of them. Go down by the seashore and start counting the grains of sand on the seashore. Just start one, two, three. Just start counting all the sand. You say you can't count them because there's so many of them? For God so loved the world. He so loved the world. That's a lot of love.
Sure is.
And I just want you to know that God loves you that much.
Sure.
More than the grains of sand on the seashore, more than the stars in the sky. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How many of you have sons? How many would give them for anybody? Much less people that don't even want you, don't like it.
Sure.
He gave his only begotten son.
Right.
That whosoever believeth in him, look, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
How easy is it to get saved? That's the provision. Jesus hanging on the cross, taking my sins away, and I'm accepting that as payment for my sin. I'm receiving him as my Savior. The book of John was written so you could believe in Jesus Christ and to believe in my never life through his name. Let's look at another verse. I just had a friend passed away just a couple of weeks ago, an evangelist friend of mine. He got under conviction from this verse, John chapter 5. I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again because my friend just passed away. And it's just fresh on my mind. But in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life.
Amen.
Well, nobody can know if they're saved. If you hear his word and believe on him that sent you, you have everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation. That's future tense. You have everlasting life now and you are not going to come under condemnation.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, your soul saved is pathetic.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. I have a friend, and some of you, most of you probably don't know. You know what a hippie is?
Yeah.
In the old days, the hippies?
Yeah.
I have a friend who wanted to be a hippie. Just because he liked to smoke dope. That's the only reason. Hippies like to... So he wanted to be a hippie. Well, he didn't know how. He's from West Tennessee. And you don't know about West Tennessee, but it's just a bunch of backwoods people. They know nothing about being a hippie. You got to be cool to be a hippie. And Daniel was not cool. So he hitchhiked to Berkeley, California, because they knew how to be a hippie in Berkeley. Anyway. So he hitchhiked to Berkeley, California, to learn how to be a hippie. He was going through Memphis, Tennessee, and there's a street preacher preaching John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say to thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And all Danny could remember was verily, verily. That's all he could remember. He said, I'd be sleeping under a bridge. He made it verily, verily. And he said, God would just tear my heart up with verily, verily. And he said to Rollins, verily, verily, what? He went to Berkeley. He dropped out as a hippie. He was not hippie material. And so he started hitchhiking back to Tennessee. Said he's under a bridge. Bunch of hippie dropouts going this way. Bunch of hippie wannabes going this way. He's under the bridge. He said, somebody passes by in a car and throws these things out the window. He said, look like books of matches. So we dove for these things. We thought they were matches. And there were these little bitty Bibles that had about 10 verses in them. He said, the first verse was John 5:24. And he said, I read it all the way home. Got home, been home a week. Got thrown in jail. Guy came in jail preaching. John 5:24. Danny Mack got saved. Went off to Bible college. He was an evangelist about 30 years. Just passed away about a couple weeks ago. I'm just telling you, if you hear his word and believe on him to send you have everlasting life. And you shall not come into condemnation. Your passion, death, and life. Big John was written so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. That's why Big John was written. Let's look at Little John. Little John. 1 John. By the way, 1 John is the same grade level as Big John. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So here, Little John was written. He said, these things that were written that believe on the name of the Son of God. In other words, you read Big John and you believe that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God, you got eternal life. He said, I've written 1 John, I've written Little John, so you can know that you're saved. So you can know you're saved. Now let me tell you something here. I've taken all kinds of soul winning things through the years and I'm not real keen on soul winning stuff as far as the training. Is anybody raised on the farm? with the cows? We never taught our heifer and bull how to reproduce. They never went to a clinic. Our chickens just seem to pick up on, you know, our goats. They just reproduce. Never went to a clinic. But Christians have to go to a clinic to learn how to reproduce.
Right.
It should be a natural thing.
Amen.
It should be a natural thing. Amen. If we have to go to a clinic, maybe we need to learn what witness means.
Yeah.
Amen. That's but anyway, here. But as they talk soul winning, once you get into private prayer, then you give them 1 John 5:13 so they can have assurance. Now, let me ask you a question. Read that verse again. Look at the verse. That verse does not give you assurance. That verse tells you that what he has previously written gives you assurance. These things that are written, you to believe them and then something that you may know that you have eternal life. That verse doesn't give you assurance. That verse says what I've written up to this verse.
Right.
Gives you assurance.
Amen.
That you're saved. So, if you want assurance, let me ask you this. How many have ever doubted your salvation? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Let me share this with you. I was a lost church member for 10 years. I never once doubted my salvation until I got saved.
That's right.
Amen.
The whole 10 years as a lost church member,
right.
I didn't sit through a service. Did I pray the right prayer? I wasn't sincere. Didn't know what I was doing. I never thought any of those things. But after I got saved, I had a few struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Some preachers preach that it's impossible to doubt. If you doubt you're saved, then you're not saved. Then why did John write 1 John?
Amen.
Why did he write it? He wrote it so people could know.
Amen.
And then apparently people cannot know. That's why he wrote it. But let's look at some evidences of salvation. How do you know if you're saved? And those of you that were I'm honest enough to raise your hand if you've doubted your salvation since you've been saved. Would you agree with me that what I just said is true?
Yeah.
You go back to your experience and investigate.
Yeah.
Did I know what I was doing? Did I repent? Did I repent of everything?
Yeah.
Did I know what I was? Was I sincere? Did I just go off because my brother went up? You know, all these things. Not one time is John going to point you to the experience. You know, I got saved 42 years ago. I've forgotten a few things. But he don't ask me to go back 42 years to see if I'm saved or not.
Amen.
He asked you about today.
Amen.
I remember most of today, I remember. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And I'm going to hurry because this thing is really zapping along here. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him.
Yeah.
If we keep his commandments.
Amen.
If we keep his commandments. Now, the verse we saw, it is evident. Let me ask you this. Once you get saved, you always keep his commandments. You never break a commandment.
No.
It is evident. So, to keep his commandments does not mean that you'll never break a commandment. I looked that word keep in the dictionary. It said to value or highly regard.
Amen.
Let me put it to you this way. Before I was saved, I did not value or highly regard his commandments. And as a matter of fact, I broke them regularly and bragged about it. Matter of fact, most of our conversation was learning new commandments we could break before I was saved. I have broken his commandments, Lil, since I've been saved, but I don't brag about it.
That's right.
And I'm sorry. And I feel dirty.
Right.
And I want to be clean.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
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 I'm saved. Great commandments? Yeah. But I'm saved. Because I keep his commandments. I highly regard them. Amen. I value them. Two verses down, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. I know I'm in Him because I value and highly regard His Word.
Yeah.
I didn't before I was saved. Have you ever heard anybody say, I don't care what the Bible says? I've broken His Word since I've been saved. But I do care what the Bible says. Matter of fact, Sam Gitt said this. I like some of his sayings. Some of them are stupid. But this one I like. He said, it's all right to disagree with God as long as you know who's wrong. I disagree with His Word. There's some hard stuff in there. But I know who's wrong. I value and highly regard His Word. I know I'm saved. Broke His Word? Yeah, I have. Since I've been saved, I broke His Word. But I value and highly regard it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Let's look at the next. Let's turn over to verse 23. Just trying to help you. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. A saved person cannot deny the Lord. Well, I probably lost him. I could have witnessed the other day and I didn't. I'm not talking about that. If somebody backs you in a corner, can you deny the Lord? If somebody says, do you know Jesus Christ? Can you say, no. My son, Jimmy, y'all pray for me. He's doing a lot better. But boy, when you mess up, there's a lot of baggage. Amen. My son, Jimmy, was a lot of stuff, just drugs, and you name it, got into it. And then he went to, he was in the Army, went to Iraq, was in the war there, and we were concerned about him, praying for him. He called me one night. Dad, I just thought you'd like to know. I just wanted somebody to the Lord. Yeah. I'm thinking, Jimmy, I don't even think you're saved. There was an atheist in his unit. And this atheist started talking to one of his buddies and trying to take his faith away in God. And Jimmy couldn't keep his mouth shut. He couldn't keep quiet.
Amen.
I mean, as bad as he's living, there's something holding inside of him. There's some life in him, and he couldn't let that go.
Amen.
He said, hey, there is a God. And he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And that's the way I got saved. Listen. You say, I know. If you can deny the Lord, you might say. But if you acknowledge Him, you're saved. But on this, on that, if you highly regard His commandments, and you highly regard His Word, and you can't deny the Lord, the Bible says you're saved.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's all that counts. Yeah. But I feel, forget how you feel, believe what the Bible says. Yeah. Let me give you this. Yeah. Write this down. Especially if you have trouble with doubts, write this down. Believe your beliefs, doubt your doubts.
Amen.
Believe your beliefs. Doubt your doubts. Amen. One more, and I'm going to quit. 33 minutes, 15 seconds, 16 seconds, 17 seconds. This is killing me. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. I know I'm saved because this is my crowd. I don't have another crowd. But when I was saved, when I was a lost church member, I had two sets of friends. I had two different crowds. I did not have two different crowds. I did not know how to get drugs. I don't have any connections. I don't. I buy from an undercover guy. If I wanted drugs, I wouldn't know how to get them. I don't have connections. I only have one crowd, and they're here. And don't offer me drugs at the church. I know the first one's always free, especially. That's the only crowd I got. Who's your crowd? I mean, I know people come to church and they can't wait to get out because they'd rather be with someone else. They're real comfortable around the custom. They're real comfortable about the immorality. They're real comfortable around drinking and gambling and people taking the Lord's in name in vain. They're real comfortable. I'm not comfortable around stuff like that. A lot of things, but the Bible says just Lot. Lot was saved. Lived in a horrible place, chose to live there. But the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul from day to day by what he saw and what he heard. He was miserable the whole time he was there. I mean, sometimes we have family reunions and all these, you know, maybe an office party, whatever, and they're drinking and they're telling dirty jokes. And if I have to be at something like that, I just can't wait to get out of there. When I'm in church, I just like to hang around.
Amen.
I like fellowship. This is my craft. I know I'm saved. I'm going to close. This is one of the most important things I preach. I mean, everything I preach is important because I have a book. I'm really burdened about this. And this thing in 1 John, I preached it every year at the college where I taught for dorm devotions. I preached to the girls, preached to the guys, you know, once a year in dorm devotion. I would preach this because I wanted them to have assurance that they were saved. And you know what started happening? Every time I preached it, the next morning I found out, did you know so-and-so got saved? At first it upset me. I did it so they could have assurance. And now they're even saved. I'm not making these people doubt that you're trying to give them assurance. And after a while, it clicked. If you can't put your name there, you're not saved.
That's right.
If your crowd is out there, if you can deny, I mean, get one crowd and not even accept the existence of God, Jesus Christ, you know, make fun of him, talk lightly about him. If you can tell the dirty shit, listen, the commandments, you still brag about it. You break commandments, doesn't bother you a bit. Break the word of God, doesn't bother you a bit. You're not saved. Yeah. I don't care how many prayers you pray. I don't care how many sinners' prayers you pray. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. Listen, if it meows and rubs up against my leg, and purrs, you can call it a dog all you want to. I know what it is, and it ain't a dog. Oh, I'm saved. And you break his word, and it doesn't bother you. And you break his commandments, and it doesn't bother you. You brag about it. You'd rather be somewhere else with some other people rather than the God's people. Amen. You can call yourself saved all you want to. Oh, I remember when I prayed that prayer. You're still a cat.
That's right.
You need to be saved. Amen. These things have I written you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And let me say this to you people that have had doubts. If the Bible says you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
Makes no difference how you feel about it. It makes a difference what that book says, and that book says you're saved. So enjoy it. Accept it.
Amen.
Just accept it. You know what would help you if you're a doubter, especially? Just come to this altar and say, God, I just want to thank you this morning for saving my soul.
Amen.
Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Amen. Let's pray.